Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Sean Maloney, talk to me about unemployment. I think you should give us a little bit of a primer as to what has happened so far and where we are now, and then tell us what you're going to do about it.
Well, listen, what's going on right now is we got 2.8 million people in our country, including 228,000 New Yorkers. These are our neighbors who are paying the price because Congress can't get its act together, because we have not been able to extend the unemployment insurance since the end of the year. And there is a bipartisan agreement in the Senate that it has voted on, that the House of Representatives should take up, you know, yesterday, that I support, that would get help to these folks. And it would be retroactive, so they would get the help they need that they haven't been getting. You know, there's a trucker named Douglas. Doug's 54 years old. He worked for 30 years and was laid off. He came to us and told me his story. He can't afford to pay his mortgage. He can't afford to put gas in his car. He can't even go to the interviews to find a job right now. And he needs Congress to get its act together. And so I support extending, you know, the emergency unemployment insurance program the way we have always done, on a bipartisan basis with Republican and Democratic presidents alike. That's another difference between me and my opponent, by the way. When she was here, she voted to cut those things back. I think we got to help people who are out there looking for work. We got to get people back to work in this country.
So
we can pay for it, by the way.
I'll pay for it in any
responsible way.
Okay, well, give us an example of what a responsible way of paying for all that money would be.
Well, listen, the Senate's paying for it by pension reforms. There are other ways to pay for it. We give so many tax breaks to so many people who don't need them, like big oil companies and people who ship our jobs overseas. It would be easy to pay for this if we got serious about it. And I only raise that because people will say, oh, that's why we can't do it. But the fact of the matter is, that's just a dodge. People don't want to do it because they got this Tea Party philosophy that you've got to cut people off to help them. And I just think that's a dim view of people. The people I meet who are out there who went to their mailbox and aren't getting this help are people who are desperate to find work, who are trying to feed their kids and stay in their house. And the economy's been bad for a long time. And if you're an older worker right now in the Hudson Valley, you know how hard it is to find a job because older workers in particular have trouble getting back in this workforce. And the last thing we need to be doing is penny pinching on the backs of people who are looking for work, who want to just support their families. And I just think it's an outrage. It's I got to say, of all the things, and I've seen a lot now in 14, 15 months in Congress, of all the things I've seen, it's one of the most disgusting things this Congress has done.
Talk to me about immigration reform. We keep hearing about it, path for freedom, path to citizenship. What's going to happen?
Again, you know, we have folks in the Tea Party who are holding it up. We had a big bipartisan agreement come through the Senate months and months ago. And people should know that, you know, it's not perfect. Nothing's perfect. But it's a bipartisan deal that would secure our borders, that would verify the workforce. I mean, no kidding, secure the borders, verify the workforce, and create an earned path to folks who are here and playing by the rules now, who will pay a fine, will get right with the law, will get in the back of the line, will wait years and years and years, have to pass all kinds of conditions, learn English, the rest, and it will not hurt people who have been trying to do it the right way. It's got to be fair. And we can do all those things. And it's very important to get these folks contributing to our economy out in the open, to be paying into Social Security and Medicare the right way, to be paying payroll taxes, to be starting small businesses. We need to grow our population. We want to increase our economy, and we can do it in a way that's fair. But what drives you nuts is that these guys are playing a political game. They want to hold this up until closer to the presidential election. But we've got thousands of families in the Hudson Valley who need help now, and our communities need help because they're the ones paying the price for Washington's dysfunction.
You mentioned minimum wage for women. Tell me how that's lining up right now in terms of Democrats and Republicans.
Well, again, I don't want to sound like a partisan. I mean, Alan, you know I'm the seventh most independent Democrat in the House. I vote in bipartisan ways all the time.
That means you vote for Republican. That means you vote for Republican bills to get that status, right?
I vote for bills that make sense, and because the Republicans control the chamber, they get to decide what we vote on.
Yeah.
But I don't vote for Republican bills. I vote for things that I think will help the Hudson Valley. But I'll tell you, I'll tell you, I'm sick to death of folks who you know, check their brains at the door and go in there and just vote for the red team or the blue team and forget what the heck they're voting on. But on minimum wage, there is a real difference. I mean, those of us on our side of the aisle do support raising the minimum wage to $10 an hour. Right now, the minimum wage, $7.25, it's a little higher in New York, but a person making the federal minimum wage makes $14,000 a year. Now, anybody with kids knows how hard it would be to do anything. How are you going to pay a mortgage? How are you going to pay a car payment? How are you going to buy soccer uniforms for the kids on $14,000 a year? These are people who are working full time. So, and 62% of the people making minimum wage are women, even though they're only half the workforce. So we don't just need equal pay for equal work. We need to raise the minimum wage and give people a better ability to support their families. It's just common sense, and we've always done it. And it has been so eroded by inflation that the minimum wage is less in real terms than it has been in decades. We've got to catch up, and we've got to support working people.
Is there any appetite for that among your Republican colleagues?
There's some, but not enough. And you know, my opponent, Nan Hayworth, doesn't support raising the minimum wage, and so that's another choice people are going to have this year in this election. If you want somebody who won't support raising the minimum wage, who thinks we ought to give huge tax cuts to multimillionaires, and, you know, end traditional Medicare, you know, block grant Medicaid. I mean, you know, that's her plan, and I think it's terrible. My plan is to do what we did in the Clinton administration, which is to invest in people, invest in Head Start, earned income tax credit, help people work their way out of poverty into the middle class, raise the minimum wage, help people with family leave, paid family leave within a balanced budget, you know, support working people and middle class people again the way the government used to support my folks. My folks raised six of us on one income, and they worked like dogs, and they made a lot of sacrifices, but they had a government that was investing in education and in science and in research and in their roads and bridges. You can't even drive around the Hudson Valley now without falling in a pothole, that's 6 feet wide. We've got to invest in our infrastructure again, and these things will grow our economy, and we can balance the budget the right way. But minimum wage is part of it. We got to start making good choices again.
Sean Patrick Maloney, we thank you for being with us, as always. You mentioned in a previous interview that you would be willing to debate Nan Hayworth anytime, anyplace. I think WAMC should be in a position to make that happen. And I just want to make sure I can count on you if we offer that opportunity here to do that.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. You know, we're going to find out in a couple of weeks whether they have a primary on that side. So we probably ought to make sure she's the candidate, but it looks like, but I'm happy to do it, and I'd love to do it with WAMC.
Thanks, Sean. Always great to talk to you. We'll wait for the next round. Thanks again.
Thanks, Alan.